All right. This morning, we're going to take a look at another practice or doctrine of our church. And this one is really, to me, something unique about us here at True North. This isn't necessarily, in some ways, it's kind of a historical doctrine, understanding God's mission for the church. We always turn to Matthew 28. Let's start right there. Let's just jump right in. Matthew 28. Right before Jesus was taken up into heaven. In verse 19, actually, I like to start in 18. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There's so much packed into all those statements about Jesus leading us, Jesus being the authority over all heaven and earth, and calling us, his people, to go and make disciples, to meet people, invite them into a relationship with Christ, to grow together as disciples. And as you really take a look at this commission, this great commission, we call it, and you talk to people around the country, around the world, or you listen to them, you find that there are so many different ways people understand how to live out this mission. Because it can be pretty broad. And every church, I think, has to decide exactly what their unique character is and how they live this out. And so part of today is going to be just telling the story of True North a little bit and the experiences that we've had. The growth that God has done in me to really clarify what I think he has called us to. I have great conviction about the direction that he has led us. And then we'll look at scripture a little bit to see how we have understood what scripture is saying, and especially Jesus' example to us, to fulfill this great commission, to go and make disciples. I give thanks to the Lord in so many ways for the unique ways that he has shaped us over time, over the past 20 years. And it was kind of fun for me to just sit and think over 20 years, all the things that we have done here and the opportunities that God has laid before us. So let me start here. When God planted and called us to plant True North Church in 2006, we came with the intention of being a church that would reach new people for Christ. We assured new churches in this town that we were not here to take people from their churches. And there was concern about that. There's already so many churches in Cannon Falls. What are you doing here? Are you just going to try to take people away from us? And we said, no, that's not what we're here for. We are here specifically to draw people who either don't know Jesus yet or they don't have a church family. They need a place to connect. We're going to be very intentional about that. And at that time, we, like a lot of evangelical churches in the late 90s and the early 2000s, put a lot of focus on being invitational and attractive and relevant. There's a lot of discussion at that time about how people were falling away from the church. The trends then were and have continue now of more and more people are falling away from the church. And there is a generation now of kids that have never had any exposure to Christianity in their lives, which is just saddens me. But it's part of the reality of where we are. And at that time, there was like, we need to make church more attractive and interesting to people because people were complaining that church is boring and irrelevant. And there's lots of ways that that has been expressed. But we were part of that at the time. And we came with the intention to be a church that was welcoming to all people, especially people who didn't feel welcome in other churches. And let me say, that's been one of our greatest strengths here as a church, is to be welcoming to people. I've had people comment to me year after year that they came into True North and they just felt this welcome, that they were accepted no matter who they were. Some people have said that they've never felt that before in a church. And we lean on that to say, yes, we are open to all people. We always have space for someone new, no matter what your background is, no matter who you are welcome to be part of this. We've been known as part of our DNA that God has planted us. And one of our biggest challenges, however, is that when we initially set out to do this work, our focus was on going out and inviting people to come into the church. I'm going to really focus on that. Our focus at the time, the way we thought this meant to be welcoming, inviting, was to say, go out into the community, connect with people, and invite them to become part of the church. And that's where they will experience Jesus. That was part of the attractional model, that, as people call it today. If we're going to make disciples, we have to be intentional about building those bridges, creating pathways for them to come into the church and experience Jesus. And there's so many wonderful things we did with that intention. I look back and I think about Rock. Has anyone here for Rock the Falls? Does anyone remember that? You guys were there? You guys were there? Yeah. We had rock concert at the Van Shell. Yes. Heavy metal band concerts. We even had the police show up once and say, turn it down. Not that that's something we should be proud of, but we had awesome, yes, awesome testimonies of God working in these band members' lives. We're open to inviting all kinds of people from the community to come and be part of that. It was great. We have a history of our first, 9 or 10 years of vacation Bible school every Sunday that was uniquely designed. Wendy often had, yeah, and every summer. And Wendy had just some inspiration from God about, here's the focus. Yes. Yeah, and I love the way that we did it. It was always designed in such a way that engaged many people from the church of activities and teachings. And yeah. Yeah. And it brought all kinds of kids and families together. We'd do it out in the park, and people would come, and there'd be people that we'd meet, new people that we'd meet all the time. What else did I write down? We met in the park all summer long. We continue that tradition of going out in the park to be present where people can see us and we can invite them to come in. There's some night in Bethlehem for 2 years, I think it was, we hosted this event where we transformed the church into the town of Bethlehem. And we invite people to come in and kind of experience what it might have been like when right after Jesus was born. And it was a great event. We started to see after a while, though, that a lot of these events would bring people, and they enjoyed it, but they never came to church. Or, so more and more, it was a bunch of Christians who would gather together and celebrate what God was doing, which is great, but not that piece of making disciples, inviting new people, just wasn't happening. And I'll tell you, I spent a lot of time praying and wondering what I was doing wrong, that we weren't accomplishing this goal of really making disciples. I got to say that carefully. We're making disciples. We're making disciples as we gather here together. That's part of it. But not meeting new people and inviting them in. Yep. We weren't getting people here. Yes. Yes. And I want to celebrate that. Those are really very meaningful. Yes, the point was we'd invite them to come to the church, and we're not seeing people come to the church. I'm like, what is going on here? Everything that I was taught about being a pastor said, yeah, this is what you do. You have these events. You invite people, and your church is going to just explode. Nope. It doesn't happen. We understood at that time. We understood that God's word calls us to invite people into relationship. And I'll tell you that even early on, I could sense, looking back, I can see how God was calling us to do something a little bit different. In our first year or two, we came up with a mission statement for True North Church. What we said is, here's the Great Commission. How is True North going to fulfill this mission? And what we came up with is this statement is sharing God's love and inviting people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. That's what we're about. Notice it doesn't say invite them to become part of the church. It just says invite them into a relationship with Jesus. And I can see how even then God was telling us something, that it's not about making disciples, is not about growing your church. It's just about inviting people to Jesus, to know Jesus. And that vision started to gain more clarity, I would say, for me at least. I think this is the vision we always kind of had, but I needed more clarity. In 2018, we had a significant event that happened here. And this was, we had gone through kind of a rough period, and I was contacted out of the blue by somebody who was a church growth consultant who said, hey, let me come give you an assessment on how your church is doing, and I can give you some tips on how you can grow your church. I'm like, great. Well, I contacted, before I said yes to this guy, because I thought, man, I think we could use some help. We're going to see life past this rough patch. I contacted the FEC president, and I said, what do you think about this? And he goes, well, it's nice to have somebody come assess, but I'll tell you what, that there are a lot of people out there, these church growth consultants, they're just selling you a package that everyone tries to follow that's focused on making your church grow. What we would rather you focus on is being a healthy church. And we'd rather send you somebody from within the FEC because you already have a relationship with them. And they sent us a man named Tom Bernardo, who has become just one of my closest brothers in Christ. I love this man. In so many ways, he has affected my life. He came here, and some of you probably met him, and he talked to everyone and said, he interviewed people, what do you like about True North? Where do you see we need growth? And he gave us this wonderful assessment on where we are, on our health. He gave us, you'll find in the back of the room, I printed out these cards after he came. They're called 8 Characteristics of the Healthy Church. I still have them out today because I think these are wonderful things to focus on. And he said, it's not whether you're passing or failing. It's just, here's where the things that you're doing is really good at. And maybe you identify a couple things that, well, we could do better at that, which was good. But more than that, Tom and I had 2 or 3 conversations where he just sat down and said, how are you doing? How are you doing? He asked you how you were doing, right? He connected with us personally. And I told him at the time, you know, throughout those conversations, I had known him as sitting at conferences, listening to him on stage. And to me, he was always presented as Tom Bernardo, church planter extraordinaire. And he said, he just laughed because let me tell you about all my failures. He told me the many times he had failed at church planting. And we shared these stories about what it's really like to do ministry. And the significant thing he started telling me is that the church culture that we were kind of started in was all about that attractional model that I told you about. Go out, invite people, tell them to come to the church. And there are crazy things that churches do to attract people to them, is what he pointed out. And what you're attracting them to is this fun, entertaining venue that talks a little bit about Jesus. And they just keep coming for the fun. He goes, that's a problem. And it really awakened to me to that problem of connecting, making disciples with growing your church. And I started to realize that I can let that go. I'm like, I don't have to be focused on making the church grow. And let me tell you, as a pastor, there's a lot of pressure that you follow this pattern. And I was able, because I talked to somebody who'd been through it, to just start letting that go. That was step number one. Then the next year, I was invited to go to Spain with a group of pastors to meet the missionaries we support in the Basque Country. And I know some of you have heard these stories, by the way. But it's good to review them and good to what did you say? Good to tell them again. Yeah, this is part of who God has called, made us to be. And this is how I see God revealing to us a unique way of fulfilling his commission. Actually, I don't think it's unique. It's just because I think many people have done this throughout the century, but different than what we see around us a lot. Anyway, I went to Basque Country, met the missionaries there, and the Basque region, so Basque Country is a region that is actually within Spain and France. It's a homogeneous ethnic group that has been through some really rough history, including some persecution by the Christian church during World War II. And our missionary friends, especially a man named Jason Kuhn, were sitting around dinner one night. We said, how do you approach church planting in the Basque Country? He goes, let me tell you, because of the negative history these people have with Christianity, we cannot come in here, start a church, and say, hey, come join us. That would fail miserably. And so what we've done is we moved here to Basque Country, moved our families over here, and we just go out and make friends. We find people to connect with on a personal level. We go out and have walks. We have dinner. We talk about life. And we are open to having spiritual conversations with them, and not just conversations about Christianity, but really exploring them and what is their spiritual view of life. What are the things that matter most to them, and how do they see life? And that gives us opening to start talking about Christ. And there's been people who have come to Christ, people who have started gathering in small groups in Basque Country, but it's been a slow, long process. They can't just say, look, we've planted a church. Look how wonderful it's grown to 1,000 people. No, they built relationships, long-term, loving relationships. And there was something in his language that just clicked with me. Like, that's what God is calling us to. And I even told him, you're describing American culture right now, where more and more people have a negative view of Christianity. It breaks my heart, but it's the reality. People outside of the church talk about how judgmental and hateful we are. And we have. We have met Christians who have this view of we are the saved, we are the redeemed, we are the wise, everyone else is on the outside, and we talk down about them. And we're going to save them and make their lives better. And that creates this division, and people don't want that. And right, it's not true. And so with those two big moments in my mind, I've gone back to Scripture time and time again and found a couple of points that just stand out to me so much more clearly. And the first is right in the beginning of chapter 1 of Genesis. Genesis 1:27. Let me just read that. You've probably read it and heard it many times. Day 6 of creation. Genesis 1:27 said, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. This tells me that every single human being on this planet was created in the image of God. They bear the image of God, and that makes them precious in God's sight. And that's such an important thing to remember. When we look around in our culture and we see the kinds of arguments and debates that go on, we see the just hatred that's expressed, especially in our political climate today. I remind myself that those people who disagree with me or that I disagree with or that are receiving such hateful rhetoric are made in the image of God. And they are loved by my Lord. And therefore, I am called to love them. Every single human being was made in the image of God. Every single human being is loved by God. God desires a relationship with every one of them. No matter how they're living their life now, whether they recognize him or not, God wants to know them. And he doesn't get to know them by us beating them over the head about how they should be living. And that is where I look to the example of Jesus. So now I want to turn to Luke 7. This is a comment that Jesus made. This isn't even just a teaching that he gave. This is just a comment he made as he was honoring his cousin, John the Baptist. But such an important point that he makes. Luke 7, starting in verse 28. He says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, and he's even doing more than honoring John. He's just saying, look how important every person is to God. Right? Even the least is important to God. And then verse 29, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' word, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. And then verse 31, Jesus says again, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are children sitting in the marketplace calling out to each other. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. And he's saying right there is the people of this generation are like children calling out and saying, would you notice me? Do you see me? That's what people in our world are crying out for. You've probably felt it in your own heart. Do you notice me? Do you understand me? Yeah. People crying out to be heard and seen. And then Jesus says, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he's a demon. So the religious rulers judge John for not drinking and eating. And then the Son of Man came eating and drinking. You say he's a glutton and a drunkard and the friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. And it's that last part especially that sticks out to me, that's just ingrained in my mind. Jesus was known as a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of sinners. That's how the religious community understood Jesus. You terrible glutton. Because you're out there eating with sinners and tax collectors, living your life with them. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Exactly my point. That is seen as a bad thing. Every compliment can be seen as a bad thing. But this is how I want to be known. I want to be known as a friend to sinners. It wasn't true that Jesus was a drunkard and a glutton or a sinner. He recognized the value of all these people. He understood how desperately they wanted to be known. And they were the ones excluded by the church. So Jesus went to them and he befriended them. He lived his life with them. One of the saddest commentaries on the Christian church today is most Christians have no non-Christian friends. That's convicting. Because if we're really going to make disciples, who should we be hanging out with? And we should be friendly to them, inviting to them, welcoming to them. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. And it's okay if that means we're misjudged by others and we're called terrible things. If people are afraid that we're going to slip into accepting the things that we ought not to accept, the things that Jesus says are sinful. We know that people are embracing sinful things, right? There's all kinds of things in this culture that people are saying are okay that God says are not. It is okay to befriend those people. It doesn't mean that you're accepting their lifestyle. It doesn't mean that you're saying sin is okay. It just means you are loving them and you're showing them that it's possible to live a different life. Showing them, not necessarily telling them. Taking the time to really listen and get to know them. And this is what I believe God established this church for. We did not plant this church to build a community that would attract people in and become an exciting place to be and to love God. Not that we can't, not that we're not exciting and interesting and all that, but it's not the purpose. I believe God established this church in this community. God called this group of people together to build a church family, to grow in our faith together, to love God together, to go out into our communities, to show them God's love. I no longer see myself as just a pastor of True North Church. I am a pastor to Cannon Falls and the surrounding communities. Because that is who God has called me to. And when you talk, when Wendy was saying before, how many people would have been affected by all those things that we did that maybe never came. And yeah, we do have people come back and say, oh, I love that. And you made this difference in my life. Yeah. Yeah. People. You can say it. Colin is, yeah.
So when we moved to Cannon Falls, we asked the boys to be missionaries to the public school.
Yep.
And that's what they said, yep, we're going to do that. They said, go to the 3-year-old preschool to be a missionary, Evan's going to second grade, Nate's going to fourth grade, and then we'll be a missionary at the public school. Nate's actually continuing to be a missionary to the public school.
Yeah. Yeah, we told our kids that we were called to be missionaries to the public school, and that's what they did. Even as young as 3 years old, Nate is a teacher now who is loving his kids, started a fellowship of Christian athletes. And just to hear him talk about his passion for loving these kids well, meeting them where they are. It's just that that's God working it through him. That is God calling him to his community. Yeah. Right, for a different Falls than Cannon Falls. So my point, my big point in all of this is that I believe God has called us, established us here to be a church, not that goes out and invites people to come in. Not that we won't see that, not that we don't want that, but our primary purpose is for us to be established here, to grow together, to connect with God and one another and go out and share God's love. And whether those people ever step foot into our church or not doesn't matter. What matters is that they know Jesus. That's what we care most about, that people could come to know Jesus. So I've asked myself how to do this. I remember the first Sunday I stood up here and said, no more church as usual. We are a church that goes out. The next day, I go, oh, that means me too. And what am I going to do? And I realized I was already doing it in one way. Coaching soccer, for me, has been a huge outreach to connect with kids and their families. I did that all the way up until last year. This past fall was my first season not coaching since we've been here. But that week that I started having that revelation, I went to the Chamber of Commerce and said, rather than having a booth in your event, I think I should volunteer to serve your event. And over the past 7 years now, 6 years, I have served as on the board of directors of the Chamber of Commerce of Cannon Falls. And I'll tell you, the thought I had before I did that was that God, the people I can connect with in this community are the business people. That maybe God can connect me with business people because they're here all day. All you guys are out working, right? I'm here, they're here. That's who I can connect with. I am amazed, and this is not me. This is God opening doors for me and me simply showing up and demonstrating his character. I am amazed the opportunities I have had to influence the business leaders of Cannon Falls to embrace fellowship with one another, to love one another and care and listen to one another. To work through conflicts, to come together and create a more cohesive community. And now I'm serving on a community steering committee to tell our city council what the plan for the next 20 years ought to be. I was invited. I didn't ask for any of this. It just, God opened doors. And I say that just to say, it's just a matter of stepping out. And I'm not sharing my examples to say this is exactly what you should do either, because every one of us has unique opportunities. Look for the open door. I always think of Wendy as an example. From the day she started working at Flint Hills, she has said, that's my mission field. Yep. Right. And we've come to realize, right? It's not about, yeah, you have that mission field of every day you encounter these people and do work with them. But more than that, you're building relationship with people and you build opportunities to show them the light of Christ. And who knows what God can do with that? And whatever opportunities that you have to connect with people, that's where it's at. Whatever God has put you in, whatever he might call you to. And so our outreach program here has become, let's find out what's happening in this community and go do that. We don't necessarily, and we do some things together, but we don't necessarily have to put all the effort into planning an event, trying to get volunteers together. You're busy, but I don't care. I need you here at the church for this thing this week. And then we're going to put on this big event and try to get people to come to us. No, all we got to do is there's stuff happening all around us where people get together. Go do that. Yeah. Correct. Right. Yeah, your intended ministry is to connect with people wherever God has placed you. Yeah, and we're still part of being a church. I don't want to lose sight of it, is us gathering together, growing together, fellowshipping together. But as far as reaching people for Christ, it's out there, wherever you are. And we want to equip you and encourage you for that. And what is it? How can you meet people? And that brings me to one final analogy I want to share with you. I know I'm running a little bit long here, but I just heard this at the FEC conference from the president of the fellowship, or from the evangelical, oh gosh, what is it called? Not the Fellowship of Evangelical, that's us, the the group the FEC belongs to. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry. But he's the president of that group. Covers evangelical churches worldwide. He shared this analogy about how each of us experiences life in certain ways that shape our thinking and understanding and perspective of the world. And it's like each experience we have, the family you grew up in, the schools you've experienced, the encounters you've had, are like a rung on a ladder. And you're climbing the ladder as you go. And you look around from your ladder, you realize that there aren't very many people who see the world the same way you do because they're on their own ladder, from their own experiences. And from that perspective, it can look like, oh, it's really hard to connect with people because they're so different than me. They have a different way of viewing the world than I do. And he said, what we are called to by God is to come down off our ladders and meet people where they are. We have to be willing to step down from our view. Rather than trying to get people to think the way that we do, we have to be willing to walk down whatever rungs it takes to connect with people. And the thing that struck me is that, going back to Genesis 1, we are all created in the image of God. And because of that, there is no human being on this planet you cannot find a connection with if you're willing to come far enough down your ladder. How willing are we to come down off our ladders to meet people where they are? And I want you to imagine the person you most despise and disagree with. And whether or not you ever have this opportunity, what would it be like for you to connect with them? They could be somebody that God wants you to have an influence in. There is no person on this planet that God may not call you to connect with. And it is possible, no matter how differently they think than you do. That's the thing, the practical thing I think we all need to keep learning. How do I connect with people who think differently than me? You might need them in your life, right? And that's another amazing thing about reaching out to people and going out where they are. We learn so much from them. It's not that we're the teachers that are going to give the wisdom to everyone. We might actually learn something from somebody else if we take the time. So thank you for bearing with me as I walk through this story today and kind of wander a little bit. But I hope you hear the point here is that God has planted us, called us to be a church that goes out and meets people where they are. Yeah, the Trunk or Treat downtown. Oh, yeah, that's one of the events that we still do here. Yep. Yeah, we've had lots of people come for that. Yep. Yeah, and I don't want to ever say that we're not going to ever do anything. That's one of the events that we still continue to do. I think our focus has shifted from we got to get those people to come to the church to we're just going to meet them where they are, and we're going to try to show them the character of Christ and pray that God meets. Yeah, and maybe we develop a relationship with someone who comes that we continue outside of Sunday morning that changes their lives. Who knows? And changes our lives. Right, right. What sandbox do you play in every day? Who are the people that you get to meet? We are called to be a church that meets people where they are. May we be known as friends of sinners. No matter what anyone else says about that, may they experience the love and the grace and acceptance of Jesus through us. Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for reminding me. That was going to be one of my announcements. Oh my goodness. This Thursday is the annual summer kickoff event downtown that the Chamber of Commerce puts on. There'll be vendors on Mill Street and 4th Street, including Treehouse. Treehouse will have a table during this event. So two things I want you to consider. Number one, show up at that event and meet somebody or bring a friend. It's a great outreach opportunity. There'll be fun things to do. See, I was not mentally prepared to look up the time this morning. I think it starts at 3. I think it's 3 to 7. 3 to 7 or 4 to 7. Yeah, it ends at 7, I know. Is it 3? Oh, okay. Becky will be there giving rides on her bicycle. Yep. 3 to 7 on Thursday. Cannon Falls summer kickoff event. It's going to be. Yes. We are looking at, right now, it's me and Pat who are going to be manning the treehouse table. We would love to have some additional help with that. We just need you to be there to help us hand out things like to people who come along and try to engage them, engage teens in conversations about, come see what treehouse is all about. Never going to hang your meat, right? And again, we might just build a relationship with someone who we maintain. But let me know if you're available and would like to help out with that. Thank you, Becky, for reminding me of that. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give us to show your love to this world. And I thank you for the way that you have shaped this community over the past 20 years. You have taught us so many important lessons, and you have been consistent in your call to us to be a church that meets people where they are, welcomes them into relationship, shows them the love of Christ, and for teaching us, Lord, to have the freedom to leave it at that, that we don't have to put strings on it to say, hey, you need to be part of our church and or come to this or that, but simply that they could know you. That is the most precious gift any of us has, Lord. Build us, teach us how to connect with people and how to show them your love. In Jesus' name, amen.